Carolyn, do you have any questions for Mr. Joyce? You looked into Finnegan's. What's something that you might be interested in? Because he's being quite forthcoming tonight.
Maybe just his last years.
I think it's Siegfried Gideon and his wife, Marion, get her name. They buried you in Switzerland, but Siegfried Gideon wrote The History of Architecture and 1939, I think his book was called Mechanization Takes Command. Through the Evergreens, you said that he was a friend you could talk to in the final years.
He made logical sense and didn't understand me, but allowed me to be understood.
In other words, he came up with translations of what he thought you were saying, which makes
Correct.
Sense to you.
Correct.
It was, and I think you discussed with him the idea of doing Finnegan's Wake in different media, as a TV show or as a movie. Do you recall having that exchange with him? Let's see, for Gideon, talking about different media?
Not so much. It was much more a fight about whether they were going to have a Roman Catholic mass at my burial or not. Thank God they missed that, dodged that bullet, Bob.
And Siegfried Gideon was on your side at that point?
Absolutely.
Great. So, Siegfried Gideon, Mechanization Takes Command, and then his other book, Space, Time, and Architecture. That implies he discussed space and time. Did he discuss it with you?
He did.
So that's what he was good for. I mean, to...
He was good at sifting the sorters.
Yeah.
Sifting the sorters.
Were the sorters the writers on Finnegan's Wake?
The participants, baby.
Of interest, people around you.
Yeah.
He knew which one was valuable or contributed. Who was your most beloved friend in your life, besides maybe Nora?
Well, outside of family?
Yeah.
Pendergrass.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that is. Pendergrass. I shall put, what was his first name? Or she?
Jonathan, he.
Jonathan Pendergrass. I bet you will find no reference to that. That would be P-N-D-E-R-G-R-A-S-S.
P-E-N-D-E-R.
Yeah, P-E-N-D-E-R-G-A-G-R-A-S.
Yes.
Okay, so I put in James Joyce with that name, Jonathan Pendergrass. And, of course, nothing comes up. And nobody knew about that. What did he do?
He's just a dear friend. Was a neighbor.
All right. Since we don't know about him being associated with you, he didn't...
Many is the night he'd help us back from the pub.
Right, but he is not someone who was associated with you among your literary friends or people who looked at your writing.
We weren't associated with anyone when our writing we were writing, Bob.
All right, well, how come the name doesn't come up in any biographies of you?
Because it was none of their damn business.
Right, and he was not interested in being known by them.
Correct.
Was he interested in your writing?
No.
Right, so this is a non-literary friend, so to speak.
We didn't have literary... You keep making reference to literary friends like everybody was coming by, dropping off a page that we were to add into our work. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that at all.
That's the impression that is given.
Yeah, that you're... Well, there's Paul... Can't remember. These names were handy to me 10 years ago, but Paul, there was a couple who helped you. Paul Leon... He helped you write the book or, you know, gather materials. He hung out?
Yes, and he also would bring a pail of milk down again, too, but we didn't drink it.
Okay, what's that mean? Is that an insult about him?
You keep adding that these were that it could not be without all these other scienters of drink my scotch, but
nobody knew what the heck you were doing and weren't really interested.
Well, and we liked it that way.
Right.
You keep your works to yourself until they're fully developed.
That's right. Okay.
You'll never finish them.
That's right. All right. So, and you didn't finish them. So, what happened there? You got a little too social.
Well, it's called living life.
Right. And other things.
It was a work in progress and still is, and no one's finished it since. So it must not have been that. That must have not been that much left to be worked on regarding it.
Yeah, the Evergreens spoke, and I can't say that you said this, but the Evergreens said that the 30s was a darker, troubling decade, and that had a big influence on you.
Of course.
And did that lead to you changing the wake? Because there is a change seen by the mid-30s.
Yes. Yes, you have to realize with everything, it wasn't the fall, the collapse, the depression days.
Right, wasn't that.
It wasn't about that. It was about the change of society that just went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, with the war, the fascism. Well,
not so much even the war. People took leave of their senses.
And got involved.
The Roaring Twenties got so roaring that they roared themselves right out of reality.
And then they got into group thinking, you know, fascist movements. Is that an example?
Well, they became looking for a reason to figure out the whole process, you see.
So you don't mean just how it showed in politics. You mean the average person just to you seemed, what did they get interested in that you thought was a sign of losing their senses?
I think the best is the I-carts. The I-cart, the artwork, the band dancers, the jitterbuggers, they danced and they partied and they played and they slept all day and danced all night and just had no regard for anything.
Okay, so you. Though you drank a lot yourself.
Flappers.
And jazz. Jazz came in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an opinion about jazz? Did you like that kind of music?
Some of it was melodious and some of it was a little bit irritating, but.
Right. Apparently you were a fan of opera, went to opera a lot.
Absolutely. It made sense.
Right. So you're saying that the orgy of hedonism, that struck you as irresponsible.
No, it struck us as irritating because it was not sustainable. And lo and behold, it wasn't.
That's right.
Then the 30s came along, and there was as much disdain as there was or lack of abstaining in the Roaring Twenties.
Right, so you... Did you experience a more sober society when you were growing up as a kind of a model, even though it was cowardly Ireland?
Sober didn't mean... So, there's a difference. Wait a minute. Now, did we imbibe? Yes.
Yeah.
Did we get out and lay around and having dogs and cats laying together and all this frivolity and foolishness?
Yeah.
No, wasn't like that. Someone had too much to drink, you went to sleep. You didn't go out and caterwauler out in the streets all night.
So why do you think people were seduced by that in the 20s and 30s?
Well, there was no end. The world was doubling every minute. Everything doubled every minute. So
yeah.
There was no end. There was no...
Respite.
There was no
rest.
There was no wake.
There was no wake, no determining. That's interesting because we talked about before, Finney's wake, one of the meanings is the wake that nobody gets to or never ends. Or
exactly.
So we never got to the wake, and if you accept that it was happening in a new form, then it never ended.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So the non-ending of Finney's wake, which some people say becomes circular, but just take the non-ending image of it, that was a criticism or a portrait of what was happening. I see nobody was ending. Nobody was getting respite or stopping and making assessment of it. So did you have any theories about why people got like that?
Made no logical progression of sense to us.
Whereas McClellan, with his hindsight, would say, well, you bring in cars and radio and movies.
Well, hindsight's real easy when you're looking that way. No, didn't it?
Right. It's like you would be looking at the physical behavior of the chemical bodies.
The evolving of these bastard children, as your buddy Ion calls it.
Yeah.
The development of these whole dynamics that there was a place that would burn lights all night that you could caterwaul to. They didn't run around in the dark, but Nick had run around. Everything was illuminated. You've made a world that was no night.
That's right. So the effects of technology was easier for McClellan to see that, you know, many years later. But you were looking at the effect. You didn't know the causes, which could have been considered radio, TV, electric light. You just saw the effect on the chemical body. It lost its balance. It lost its composure. It lost its cool.
Well,
what did you say?
You burn a wick from both ends and something's going to catch fire.
All right. So one can read in Finnegan's Wake statements like television kills telephony and brothers broil and other reference to new technologies. And one could say, oh, Joyce saw that the technology was driving people bonkers. Were you thinking that when you would put technologies in?
It never ended. It never ended. You had radio shows till 10 and 11 o'clock at night, Bob.
Yeah, and that was
insane.
So could you watch the 60s and 70s from the non-physical and see how it continued not to end?
Well, no. See, once we achieved without our physical meat sack body,
you had no contact.
All time is now, and that's where we see it. Then we see only then as now. Wait, we see only now as then.
Right.
Wait. There you go. Then your ion plays with the getting ready for now.
Right, but you have no contrast about that. In the non-physical.
There is no contrast, but to help you guide your direction of question, it helps you come to a place of understanding the dynamic of what was and what's now. And it's very cyclical because you're running back into the same process again.
Now, right now in our society, what is the same process that we're running back into?
Dogs and cats playing together, laying out all night, having no wake.
All right, no, I get that. So the cycle, the image of the circle, the tactile O, which is this tension, is that the fourth ring?
The completion of the fourth ring, yes.
Is
outside the fourth ring. You got to go beyond. The fourth ring was, this world can't sustain, so it would be beyond the fourth ring.
Right, and the fourth...
The space outside the fourth ring.
That's tactile tension.
Good.
So, when you talk about cycles, then a cycle is the tactile circle? The tension of it be?
Well, it depends on how tight you wind the Victrola.
Yeah.
But if you don't wind the Victrola very tight, then no, it's not a big pressurized system. But you cranking, yes, it'll get tight, and you'll know it.
And there'll be faster cycles?
Faster cycles, maybe. But what there'll be mostly is more radical cycles.
Right. I don't know how... Okay, a cycle is just a circle and fast or slow, so radical cycles... Maybe there'd be a fast one and then a slow one and then a medium one and then a fast one. Very different speeds of cycles, or is cycles not what I'm referring to with those words? What is a cycle?
It is okay. It's okay. Cycles is a time of
That's timing.
No, it is not. It's cyclical revolutions, and they're not timing, because you can't even know how to time the time of time.
But it's not time. A cycle is not time.
Tick-tock, 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 time. You can't get there.
Yeah, a cycle is not time.
Correct.
As we tick-tock time it.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Yeah, so it's hard to imagine what a cycle is. It's
because everyone's is different, but since you judge and gauge your cycle by someone else's cycle for tick-tock, tick-tock, time, and the kids can't tick-tock for the tick-tock for the time because other people's tick-tock was dim-top for top-top. Because the tip-top didn't come from the top-top, from the top-top, from the tip-top. Now, that makes a lot of sense, right? Well, so does what you're trying to explain, too. Oh, good.
That was pretty good. Made a little sense. I could follow it. My cycle of when I go to sleep and get up is my cycle, a rhythm of...
That'd be tip. Someone else's might be top.
Yeah, like
but your tip-top and their tip-top wouldn't be the same tip-top. So your top and their top is tip-to-top to tip-top. So if you can't tip-top the top-top of the tip-top, then how can you gauge your taste of your tip from their top or their top from your tip when you don't know where you are from the start?
Right. So that's to me, the word cycle refers to time, but it's not. Then we get a better understanding that time is not the clock. So
good.
So the cycle is... seems to be the timing that you personally do things in. I time what I do when I get up, or I have a timing of when I'll do this, when I go
to the beach. That's a schedule. That's not a time. Oh, that's okay. A schedule.
And a schedule is not part of cyclicity.
Never.
Okay, so I wonder what cycle is. It's not sure what it is if it doesn't bring
us either
a span of... okay, so cycles is frequency, like the sine wave. Mm-hmm. Okay, so cycles is the speed of your frequency alignment, the whatever it is that...
The speed of your frequency vibration.
Vibration, yes. Yes, in other words, you could live quite in a high or a different kind of vibration and people wouldn't even notice you, but you could be having all these experiences that... are attracted by that vibrational frequency.
At a higher megahertz level or a lower megahertz
okay,
level.
Okay, so a cycle is frequency. Okay, that makes sense. Did you get that, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
Cycle is frequency. And were you trying to put that idea of cycles in Finnegan's Wake?
We couldn't even adequately decide between daylight and nighttime, so we would say no.
Yeah, because that's getting towards understanding it. You didn't get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So the drinking and the medicine drugs helped you see beyond linear time,
mm-hmm.
but did it make
you... It numbed the cycled realities.
Wouldn't
it made them easier to see. It stopped them. It stopped it so you could see where the needle was on the Victrola.
Right. Now, because of the drinking and all that, made you incapable of understanding it, or that was not a factor?
No. Was not a factor. That's how it was able to be eliminated as much as it was.
Right. But you could not, the rules of your mind, the concepts of the day, could not figure out how to state it in simple ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or articulate it in ways that everyone could embrace it because they didn't know where they were, let alone what they believed.
So you remained being a question put up against all... You were questioning
but
the answers.
But you called it an anomaly.
He would. Who would?
You would.
Yeah. You were questioning the answers provided by the authorities of the day, like Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you're trying to demonstrate factors that you thought would go into understanding timing, and you these others weren't dealing with that. But in the end, it was only you providing a better question that you didn't have the answer to.
Very good.
Yeah. So the... okay, so we've discussed when the most before. So you were not impressed with the writers of your day, the Ezra Pounds, the H.G. Wells, the Somerset Maugham's, the Wyndham Lewis's. They were not impressed. They did not interest you. especially. Because you weren't a writer. You were trying to express a larger dynamic that could fit into physics or chemistry.
I was an idealist.
You were an idealist. You thought you could figure it out.
No. You wanted to convey it so you could figure it out.
Right. But you thought that what you were trying to convey was deeper, more breadth than what Eliot and Jabberwocky...
Well, was it not?
Oh, yeah, the weight can be seen.
Well, very good. All right, then you answered your own question.
Yeah, you know that language was richer and deeper than anybody was presenting.
Because as you rode along, everything was being remade up as you go along. You work all your life to get something done, and you went to tear it apart trying to put it back together again. Didn't make a lot of sense to us.
Say it again, you work all your life to get something done?
And to put something together.
But you're always tearing it up.
Then you get there, you get it done, and then you tear it down and try to put it back together again a different way.
And that was done faster and faster as the mania went on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Phoenix.
You walk down Fifth Avenue and come back 20 minutes later, and the new thing they just finished, they just tore down to build back again because the tree was going to get in the way of the fence post, so you had to move it.
And that would be the Phoenix cycle, the rising of the Phoenix. Since there's no understanding of it, was there any kind of optimism or positivity or feeling good about the situation?
Which situation?
For you, the world you were in, since you couldn't figure it out, did that disturb you?
No, it was fine. It was okay. Because we exiled ourselves outside of all it. Tomfoolery, pardon the pun.
That's right. You did not get involved in any issues of the day.
You even worthy of our father.
Yeah, someone asked you about Hitler. You said, let him take over Europe.
He is anyway. What you going to do?
Yeah. But the world he was taking over, you weren't interested in.
Right.
Right. So, can you say that you were a person who was pretty good at relaxing and allowing? Yeah, you had so much contrast going on, personal, political. So were there any painters or musicians you respected?
Yes. We loved Renoir. We loved Rembrandt. We loved the classically trained art forms that were available much more readily.
Much more readily you could own.
Yeah, it wasn't all museum stuff. You could enjoy a great work of art and take it home with you.
I mean as a photograph?
No, as a nice follow-up.
Oh, something you could find in the market.
Yes, Bob, we weren't on relief.
Right, okay, so were you impressed with Picasso and the model? You were not impressed. So you did say once, supposedly, that you were a classical writer. You were interested in the ancients. You thought they were better. They had something.
Baroque, yes.
You like the Baroque?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. That's what Lewin said you did. He also said...
My favorite, and it was logical.
Right.
It was comforting. It wasn't radical.
Right. And what is it about the Baroque? You say comforting and radical. What else about the Baroque that's... It's complexity.
It gave incredible... detail to attention, or attention to detail.
Which is what you did in The Wake, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, what do you make of our Ionic movement and the opportunity to understand all this that you couldn't handle?
It brings in the cycle and brings into causal effect of completing what we've been working on all along.
Right, now, I apparently am holding McLuhan back because of my interest in McLuhan. Am I holding you back? Like McLuhan is being held...
No, not so much. We had asked about visiting, and we knew Ion wouldn't let us come unless you'd start asking questions. So the consensus was to do 5 seconds worth of splash and let turn you loose and see where it goes. And I think you thoroughly want it out, don't you?
Yes. In other words, you interrupted the avatar discussion so you get noticed.
He wanted to have an engagement in play, but just from your place of asking, that's all.
Well, that's great. So did anybody come with you besides yourself? Is Nora there or any associates? Because you say we. You mean all the James... There are many James Joyces, right?
There are. There absolutely are.
So I'm talking about the one that lived in this world that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. We did too.
You did what? Live in the same world. Have you met the other James Joyces?
Yes, we have, yes.
And those other James Joyces didn't write books. And they did different things, correct?
Right.
Right. So you wanted to interact with us, or is there... it's good to get your input at this point because we keep referring to Finney's Wake and you started at the beginning. Is there a reason why you wanted to do it, or was it just my asking?
We wanted to play.
And here you are, so it works. Would Wyndham Lewis want to play with us, with me, at some point, or you don't know?
We could have to ask him.
Right. Is McLuhan watching?
Weird enough and physical.
Beg your pardon?
He was weird enough and physical.
That's right. Is McLuhan witnessing our exchange?
No.
He doesn't concern him.
No.
I guess one final question is, did you guys interacted he was in the physical, non-physical with you, right? There was communication?
Certainly.
Did you compliment him, or it's not talked about on that level in the non-physical?
There's no contrast, you didn't notice.
Right, so did you share in looking at what was?
Certainly.
Yeah, so what would be the issue that came up? Even though there's no issues, what kind of exchange would happen between you and McLuhan when you did interact on the non-physical?
Figuring out the distance of the capacitor to the capacity.
And do you mean by capacitor the electrical part?
All those dynamics, yes.
The capacitor and the capacity of where we were now.
Everything, yes.
Of everything. The distance between the you and you collective and personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that, wouldn't that be tension, tactile tension, capacitor and capacity? Yeah, that's tactility. So can we go through there was the three rings of Dante, or there was nine rings, but... in Finney's Wake, there were three rings, and then the fourth ring. But I just put it. What are the first? No, I wrote that down. I do have that notes. There were three rings. Then the fourth ring was, I'm not sure what it was. The transcendent, maybe.
Transcending
is the fourth ring, and tactility is the fifth ring, which is where you're at when you're with Marshall and the non-physical, looking at the relationship between the capacity and the capacitor. That's the fifth ring. The ongoing tension of experiencing more and watching us develop more. And then,
very good.
Yeah. Okay, Carolyn, do you have a question for Joyce before we end soon?
Did you do Switzerland?
Yeah, we did Gideon. Okay, what did you want to ask? I asked about Gideon. That's all it reminded me of. What did you want to ask about the...
Just what was it like in the last few years?
Well, he was running from the Nazis in France,
right.
And he goes over to Switzerland and lives for about a year before he passes on. You want to ask him about how he died or what that was about?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't realize it was only a year. But
yeah, he was only there a year and a half or something.
Was he blind by then?
Oh, yeah. He had bad eyes 20 years before.
So
was
the fastest path to your joy to go.
Well, is there an aspect of your transition and your collapse? We may have done that back in March 22nd. I can't remember. But was there an aspect of your transition you'd like to mention? The physical causes? I mean, suicide is the reason. What was the excuse you gave? Was it perforated ulcer or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so... That happened. All right. What did you think of Peggy Guggenheim, who was a friend of yours? And when you were alive?
Compassionate, but a ne'er-do-well.
Someone who couldn't focus, or maybe too much of a dilettante.
Mm-hmm.
Which is I've noticed the problem of some rich heiresses, they have access to everything, so they flip around all over the place, flit around, and aren't that focused. That's what she was like. Because she was very instrumental in keeping the surrealist arts. Well, she helped popularize the surrealist artists. But she knew everybody in the 20s. You, Duchamp, knew a lot of people. And that's not the way you were. You're not interested in meeting a lot of people like that.
Very good.
So very different personality from you.
Very, very good.
All right,
okay, are you good?
Yeah, that was very pleasant, very enjoyable, quite a surprise to have you show up. And we hope to engage you again.
Well, don't forget February 2nd. You can celebrate our birthday.
Our joint birthday? Did you know that I claim that's my birthday?
Yes.
Did you know in my quadrant on my chart, I put your name in mine to identify with me?
Yes.
I put myself in the joy seat. But I am not like you. I mean, if we met in person in the 20s and I was like I am now.
Talk to everybody. We don't talk to anybody.
So I'm the exact opposite of you.
All right.
So you might be considered a snob, right?
Oh, no, we have good taste.
I don't. So you would have just found me an interesting character, but certainly not of shared interest, or would we have had? I definitely, the mediumship, all the things you did, I do. A lot of things you do. I'm just a little, I did. So would there be any interest thing? Anything interest? I don't know. Would there be anything of interest between us?
Well, you've just done 2 hours together.
Well, no, I'm interested in his work, but at the time I wouldn't know. I know a little bit of his work, but I don't know how much I would have known. I'm just talking about personally. What would you have thought of me?
Well, just your bubbly...
sociability or willing to gab with anybody, something like that. Where you'd be more reserved, which is...
Absolutely.
Yeah. What would Nora have thought of Carolyn if she met her back then?
She had a lot of patience putting up with you.
Identify with that, because she probably felt she had to put up a lot with you. Yeah.
She liked the garden, like Flora.
She liked Garden Flora, which is Carolyn's middle name. So, very good information. So, Avatar is an immature work. So, will James Cameron ever create his Finnegan's Wake, a richer movie? Or is he not capable of it?
No, he's working on Avatar 2.
Which will be the same. So, he'll stay in a rut, an easy rut. And be impressed with technology or something, or his effects. So congratulations for not finishing the book. At least we know that the main message is that you can't get it done. And that's the main thing about reality. So actually, you were trying to get it done, but you created a book that pointed to the wisdom of not getting it done.
Of course.
Okay.
Very, very good.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Joyce.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Great.
Was a surprise. We spent a whole 2 hours talking to Mr. James Joyce.
We didn't get spit out of this one.
It was no fun for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any pictures?
Mm-hmm.
You were falling asleep.
It was just numb. It was like, it would be like eavesdropping on somebody's conversation. You weren't interested in what they were saying.
Yeah, like in a bus stop.
Right. Well, yeah, Bob doesn't often talk to someone directly without going through Ion. So Do you, JW, have a different experience when that happens?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. I just before I address what you just said, I just looked at the time. It's 2:02 for 2 hours and 2 minutes and 4 seconds. So it's perfect 22 February 2nd right there. So what did you just say, Carolyn?
Bob doesn't often speak directly to another person without going through ions. So
right.
It seems to be a different experience for JW when that happens. He's pushed out of the way a little more.
Yeah, we actually had the person come through,
mm-hmm.
like, which developed later with the Evergreens, that ability.
The Ion has done that before.
Yes, no, he's
spot on, but this was just like you summoned it straight out with your, all I remember is your crazy avatar stuff.
Yeah.
And then the next, it was then, okay, if you want to play that, then you got to play it this way. And it was like, okay, and then the only other thing I remember was Aloysius.
Yeah, that's just Aloysius, or Aloysius is his middle name.
It's Aloysius, it's not Aloysius, Bob.
I never knew it was Aloysius, that's pretty neat, which is a silly name in our top neighborhood. You would not have the name Aloysius. But that probably affected Joyce. But maybe not in his day. The thing is that we'd start talking about Avatar, and somehow Ion said it was like Joyce's Dubliners.
Mm.
And maybe Joyce said it. I don't know if it was Joyce or Ion, but all of a sudden we were talking to Joyce. So, and Joyce did say at the end, he wanted to talk, so he butted his way in, and Ion let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, apparently. But it was almost like third hand, you know, it's like a step and a step and a step. So I was like, I couldn't even get the boxes.
So
did he give me anything meaningful?
I got a lot meaningful in relation to Joyce and my interest in his work. It really was a lot of revealing in there. But it's only, so Ion allowed us to lobby to talk to someone I'm interested in, which may have nothing to do with the Ionic agenda. Just gave me a little treat.
Really?
Yeah, I feel that's the way it was. It was very good discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was important to you, even liked it, right, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about a lot of, what was incredible was Ion or Joyce was naming names, knew all the names, which you personally don't know. You don't know these names. Yeah.
I don't even know what he wrote other than Finnegan's Wake.
And you've never seen it. You only know the words.
Never seen it. Never.
Yeah.
You don't even know the words other than the thing.
Yeah, and at the beginning, what was impressive, and I got more and more impressed, is that the names he would refer to, other writers, later writers, was totally accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentioned Robert Anton Wilson.
Why would he not? If you're going to talk directly to somebody, if they're not stupid or are mad, they should be able to tell you what they know about what they know, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but I thought it was Ion. It might have been Ion, but Ion showed that he knew. Well, it's just reinforcement of the reality of Ion. You know?
See, that's the thing that's just really, really odd for me in this understanding. For me, it's just as though you called up Bob and said, Bob, what happened yesterday? And Bob said, well, I woke up, I got up, I did my thing. And then I'd go, amazing, you actually know what you did yesterday? Wow, what a wonderful treat. Because, see, for us, well, I think what the weird part of it is that we can't tell the difference.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, you're experiencing it on deeper than us in some way. And I know in the first few months, I didn't know whether this was JW or Ion. It seemed to be something not JW. But over the getting close to a year now, we now have a deeper appreciation of what we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gradually got to believe it. Now, meanwhile.
Well,
we got impressed.
Fancy that, you believing your own creation.
Yeah, well, then it becomes my own creation, so what the heck have I done to myself, you know?
Yeah, now you're doubting your own creation.
Well, that's what I do. Remember, that's my main character. I question everything, you know. Tomorrow, I don't think I'll do that because it was pretty good, but in my character, I get up tomorrow, I never talk to James Joey. Right? You know, that's my character question everything quickly. But I'm not able to question as much now. I mean, I was going to say to you, Counselor, over time, do you hear this, Count? He's naming people correctly. He's actually got it right.
I